I remember a day a long time ago, Joy and I decided to go to a place called Kernville in California, kind of on the edge of the Sierra Nevadas. So we're going to go camping, all that stuff. And we decided that, as we're driving, and, we didn't have GPS back then. I'm not going to say how far back that is. But we didn't have GPS, but we had maps. And look at this little road, a little shortcut. Let's like get there real quick. Okay, let's go. And we got on that shortcut. And I tell you, it was anything but. Because what I remember, it was kind of a winding road up this mountain. And I'm not sure if we hit the dirt road as well. And we came in the spot. And I'm not sure if we got a little bit lost there. And then we came back. When we finally got to Kernville, we had to set up our tent kind of quickly because it was starting to get late. It started to get dark. So, that shortcut actually ended up to be a long cut. And that's the way a shortcut can happen, right? There's time. We get shortcuts in life, and they look so tempting, don't they? You got the recipe for the cake, and a little shortcut. I don't need to read this. I'll just throw in a little bit of flour, a little bit of chocolate chips, or whatever else, and what do you get? Well, what you get is what you what you put in it. what you sow, so shall you reap. And the shortcuts, we have a tendency to do shortcuts when things are difficult, right? Life gets difficult. We're looking for ways to get through it, like study programs or trainings at work or even relationships, people, in our society, and actually I think pretty much every society around the world thinks about, rushing the relationship into sexual intimacy before you're even married. That's a shortcut. They're not taking their original time that you need to do to get to know one another in a correct way, and it causes issues in our lives. Lots of consequences. Sometimes shortcuts might work out for you, but I would say be careful, beware. Because there's times when it will take a lot longer or cause a little bit more issues than you expect in that. And today, with this passage, it's really right there in front of us about these importance of being careful of shortcuts in life. And we're going to be looking at David, and we're going to be looking at Saul. And we're going to see how this helps us in our own walk as well today, and making decisions, and really who to trust and who to rely upon in our lives. So let's pray before we go on. Father God, thank you again for your love, your care. Thank you for your word that teaches us, instructs us, gives us the endurance, Lord, shows us that, Lord, encouragement, Lord, so of your word as well, so that we may have hope. You wrote your word for us. Lord, teach us by the power of your Holy Spirit. Anoint these words. Penetrate our hearts, Lord. Transform our lives that we can live in a way that will bring glory to your name. We just thank you for this time. We give you all the praise and glory in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Well, the drama continues to unfold between Saul and David, yeah? And I want to look at, first of all, at the antagonist of Saul. We heard what was read there, but Bruce, Saul's after David again. He's following the rules of in Leviticus, saying that you got to keep your camp clean so the Lord will dwell with them. And so he goes and find a cave. And, I think there's a men's and a women's, but I think it's just only men's here, men's bathroom. So he goes there. Unbeknownst that he would go in the same cave as David and 600 of his men. Must have been a pretty big cave. I can just see them scrunching up against the wall going, who's that coming in? Who is it? And they're all like that. And now here comes Saul. And of course, here comes Saul. The Lord is in this. You can see it. Bing, bing, the lights come on, all that stuff. Yeah, this is it. But when we look at after all that, and we'll come back to it, after all that, and we come back to, you know, when David shows Saul that he actually spared his life, and then that part there when Saul is responding to him. There in verse 16, David finished saying all these things, and he says, "Is that your voice, David, my son?" Well, I guess he has problems with eyesight. Maybe he needed some glasses. I don't know. But then he wept aloud. All right, he wept aloud. So he was cut to his heart. He was conscience stricken in that way. And so he says, first of all, he just starts off, "You are more righteous than I. You have treated me well, but I have treated you badly. You have just now told me about the good you did to me. The Lord delivered me into your hands, but you did not kill me." When a man finds his enemy, does he let him get away unharmed? May the Lord reward you well for the way you treated me today. I know that you will surely be king and that the kingdom of Israel will be established in your hands. Wow. Boom. He's just letting it all out there. He's being very transparent. Looks like a great moment, right? A great moment's happening here. And then he can kind of see a turning now. Okay, you see the heart starting to feel, oh man, I really did this. You know, he's starting, you can feel there's some repentance coming here, you know, and with repentance, there has to be making things right to have reconciliation. When you have reconciliation, that means you start a new relationship between you and God or you and another person. Right, there's something, there's going to be peace now. The relationship is going to be made right, and you're going to be able to be close together, maybe even better than before. So you can see, the moment is there. It's ripe for this, for him to go, "Oh, David, you're my son-in-law. Come back to me. Come back to me. I'll give you, you'd be second in my command. You'd be right here. I'm going to train you up. And when it's your time, the Lord knows. And then you continue on as the king." Yeah, this is great. This is the moment, David. But no. See, in Saul there in verse 21, then it kinda, you kind of see the heart switch back a little bit more to self-preservation and pride. He says, "Now swear to me by the Lord that you will not kill off my descendants or wipe out my name from my father's family." He didn't get it. And we also know later on, as you read, as we continue on, we'll find out that Saul is not, if he was repentant at all, it was very short-lived. Right? Very short-lived. See, reconciliation takes trust. It takes, you know, instead of taking the shortcut, you actually have to cut short. It's kind of interesting. I was thinking about it. See, he needed to cut short his agenda. He needed to cut short his pride and humble himself under the hand of the Almighty God. But he chose not to. The self-preservation is very important for him. He wants to see his kingdom continue on. And so the reconciliation just isn't there. It's just not in his heart. A reconciliation can be a long road building back to trust. And actually, and like what we said about repenting, it's just the changing of our minds. You know, there's a change going on. Changing the way he's thinking that he is the, you know, God anointed him, and even though he took his spirit from him, and actually he said he torn the kingdom from him, but no, not yet. Kind of like what the devil says right now, you know. Christ went on the cross, defeated the enemy, the devil, on the cross through his death and his resurrection, and the devil's going, no, not yet. You know, he's fighting for all he's worth. and so is Saul. So the reconciliation that needs to take time, you can't do a shortcut with it. It's a long road. It just wasn't in his heart. And eventually, because of that, it would have consequences for him and his family down the line, and we'll get to that in other chapters ahead of us. So, taking care of that part, you have to look at Saul's faith. His faith is certainly not in God. His faith is pretty much focused upon him and himself. The fear. Joy was talking to me this morning. She's reading a book called, Authority. What is it? Spiritual Authority. And one part, it says that fear gnaws away at our faith. And I guarantee you that's what's been happening with Saul. That fear of David taking over the kingdom, and you know that his family line will no longer be in the kingly line, you know, it just consumed him. And that fear consumed his faith. And so his faith and trust in God and just leaving these matters into his hand and is saying, your will be done, not mine, it's just not on his radar. And I guarantee you, most people in this world do not have that on their radar. We meet them day after day. We read the news. There's a lot out there, right? We hear it. There's people, and they're building their kingdoms, and they just don't want reconciliation. And if they have a faith, it's certainly not in the creator of the heavens and the earth. And so there's an issue, and it causes consequences, and it causes people to run out in the wilderness, even though he didn't do anything wrong. It causes people to go on a cross, even though he didn't do anything wrong, so he could help those who did wrong get right. And that's takes a person with determination and a willingness to go forward and to go and follow God's timing, no matter long or short. So then we look at David again. You know, then we have to come back, focus now. David, you know, Saul, David, and we look at him, and you know, here it is, God delivering this man who ran him off into the desert on a plate. You know, he's in the wilderness, a very uncomfortable area, and he's running for his life. And he's got a ragtag group of people with him. I'm not sure how trustworthy they are either. But God delivered Saul into his hands. You know, just what the men said, right? The men said there in verse 4, "This is the day the Lord spoke of when he said to you, 'I will give your enemies into your hand for you to deal with as you wish.'" Woo-wee. Can you hear it? Hey, David, take the shortcut. Here it is. Ooh, it's ripe. Take it. Take it. Easy. Oh, man. I tell you, it's like putting, mother load chocolate cake that this one restaurant makes 6 layers high. Put that in front of me. I would cut a little bit off like the robe was cut, and I'll give you some, all right? But the temptation is there, right? It's ripe. It's ripe. It's so tasty. Why not? I don't want to be in a desert anymore. I don't want to be running for my life anymore. David, great, and I don't know where these guys came up for it. Maybe in the earlier time when in chapter 23, And God said, told him about this one thing there. I think it's 23:4. It says, once again, David inquired of the Lord, and the Lord answered him, "Go to Keilah, for I am going to give the Philistines into your hand." And so maybe they're kind of thinking that, oh, well, here's your enemy. Philistines, your enemy? Well, here's your enemy. Here's your enemy, David. Take him. And, you know, but for David, he never thought of Saul as his enemy. Maybe a crazy man after his life, but not an enemy. And so he has that shortcut, right? But there's a couple of things that stopped him. One, there's a commandment that God gave the people in the desert called, do not murder. All right? And this is not a time of war, even though he's chasing them, but it would be murder. Okay? So I believe that he knew that. And because of his fear of the Lord and his word, he said, no, I will not break that command. I will not kill Saul. All right, that's one. Another one is that he believes that Saul is the anointed of the Lord, and he's going to honor that. The Lord anointed him, and he will honor that, even when it's so difficult for him. See, it's easy to grab, right? It's so easy to grab. When we grow up as kids, we just want to grab, right? But a lot of times our parents will say, no, 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 don't grab. We'll give it to you. Just wait, right? I mean, just wait. I'll give it to you. Just wait. Because it's hot or it's not ready yet or it's kind of, it'll melt in your hand if you grab it right away or whatever. Or your hands are dirty. You haven't washed them yet. So don't grab. Wait. See, David's faith is being sharpened in the wilderness. It was already being worked on as he was a shepherd amongst the sheep. It was being strengthened as he went into that battle against Goliath and all the other battles after that, and God going before him, and the blessings are flowing, and his life is being protected in miraculous ways, and he sees this God, not just for the good things that he's given him, but for who he is in his life, that he really is God. And he really did create all things. And if that is the case, I can trust him. Yeah, there's times when I fail and I run off the gaff. But I can trust this God. He delivered me. He delivered me. And so in that, his faith helped him be determined not to grab, not to kill Saul, not to grab or take the kingdom like the kings of the earth are take. He is going, no, I'm not going to grab this. I'm not going to take the kingdom. I will wait upon the Lord, and in due time, he will give me the kingdom. And you can see his words here. You know, when he's talking to his men, first of all, he did something that, he got his knife out and cut that corner off the rope, and then he was even conscience-stricken about that. So, his conscience, his faith, his walk with the Lord is very close. Even then, he's being convicted of doing something wrong because that's his kingly robe. That's like tearing the kingdom away. He says there in verse 6, he said to his men, "The Lord forbid that I should do such a thing to my master. The Lord's anointed, or lay my hand on him, for he is the anointed of the Lord." See the fear in that? His honoring of the Lord, even though it's not working out for his best at this point. See, he's being trained in this wilderness experience to be a king. And the test is laid out there. Saul, here you go, David. Adam, Eve, here's that tree. Beautiful tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Look at the fruit. Huh? Don't eat of it. And he's doing the same thing for David to learn and to grow and to strengthen in his faith, trusting in the Lord. So he didn't. And then when he went out there and showed Saul, you know, what he did, and he says, then it goes down further down. He says there in verse 11, "See, my father, look at the piece of your robe in my hand. If I cut off the corner of your robe but did not kill you, see that there is nothing in my hand and to indicate that I am guilty of wrongdoing or rebellion. Have not wronged you, but you are hunting me down to take my life. May the Lord judge between you and me." So he's putting up a defense, but now he turns it all the way up back to the Lord, yeah? Have you ever had those type of relationships? there is a lot of conflict going on, and you present your great, thing, I cut off your robe, look, I could have walloped you. I could have threw that mud pie in your face. I could have did that. I didn't. Look, it's right in my hand, right? So a great defense, but now, instead of just doing that, now he's going to bring it right up into the Lord. It's not on him anymore. The matters are left in the hands of the Almighty God who created all things. Even us. Even David. Even Saul. He's the one that anointed Saul. He knew what he was doing. He knew what Saul was going to do. He anointed David. He knew David, and he's shaping him to be the next king. And so he says, no, I take this to the Lord. May the Lord judge between you and me. As for me, my hand's not going to touch you. As the old saying goes, from evildoers come evil deeds, so my hand will not touch you. And he's seeing this. Yeah, you're right, David. You had me, man. You had me. You could have gotten me in a headlock and given me noogies all day, man. Rub my hair off, I would have been bald the rest of my life. Yeah, can you see that? I know Don, yeah, You remember those times you had Sharon, or Sharon had you in a headlock, was that? I don't know which one, but something like that, So it's just right there. You can do that. But it's just, this is where faith comes in. Because faith isn't of our own. All right, this is a gift, and God's shaping and the power of the Holy Spirit working, and there's choices. And Cain had the choice not to kill Abel, but to do things right for God. You see, Abraham and Sarah, they had an opportunity, they were trusting God, but they also had that temptation of building their own family on their own. They took a shortcut, didn't they? And Hagar came in a picture, and he had another son, and this son became an enemy of his son after a while. The Israelites go out in the desert. Exodus out of Egypt. Ooh, yeah! Ooh, yeah, freedom! Yeah, getting out there. What are we going to do now, man? Get out there. Oh, yeah, there's a big mountain. Oh, there's God. Oh, yeah, we got it all. We got it all. Boy, it's taken a long time. Where is that Moses? Hey, Aaron. Hey, help us out. We need a God. We got to take a shortcut here. We're going to build our own kingdom. We don't know what happened to Moses, but we're going to build our own God. We'll make a mold. We'll be okay. Yeah. That worked out real well, didn't it? A 2-year experience turned into a 40-year wilderness journey with all those bodies being laid out in the desert. Whoa. How about this Jesus? We have been watching this Chosen series, and it's been wonderful. 30 years before he got into ministry. What was he doing for the 30 years? being trained. He's learning people. And most importantly, he's waiting upon his Father's timing. See, God the Father sent the Son just at the right time. And it doesn't look it, does it? Roman Empire? I don't think that's a very good time for me. These people were ridiculously brutal and violent. No respect for human life. But God knows, and he sent him at the right time, and then Jesus just waited until the right time, until that baptism. And then what happened after that? God says, go out into the desert. Take a 40-day journey and get out there in the desert. Let's go through some training. And then the tempter comes in there and says, hey, look, I know you're hungry. 40 days, 40 nights without food. Look at that rock. All you have to do is turn it into a piece of bread. You can do it. You're the Son of God, right? You can do it. You know, I can give you the whole world. I can give all these kingdoms. All you have to do is worship me. That's all. Shortcut right there. Do it. It's right there, Jesus. You don't have to go through all this other stuff. You know what's going to happen. No, but you're going to be rejected. You're going to be mocked. You're going to be spit on. You're going to be beaten. You're going to die. I'm going to kill you. And Jesus just uses the word, right? It says, get out of here, Satan. I'm not going to follow you. I'm going to trust in the one who sent me here. See, he's the best example of trusting and following the Lord. And there's a scripture there in 1 Peter chapter 2. I don't know why my thing fell on that. Maybe I removed this on myself here. And, you know, it really falls into place when I was reading this. It just made me think about this in 1 Peter there, chapter 2, 15, verse 15. It says, submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every human authority. That's not easy to do, is it? Is it? No, it is not. All right? Whether to the emperor or as the supreme authority or to governors. And then, who are sent by him to punish those who do wrong, to commend those who do right. And then listen to this. For it is God's will that by doing good, you should silence the ignorant talk of foolish people. Well, what do you think David is doing here? What do you think he is choosing? He's doing good. He's standing firm in faith. So this foolishness of Saul and those around him will look just like that. They will be exposed. Live as free people, but do not use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. Okay? David certainly had an opportunity there, didn't he? In his own mind, he could have killed Saul, cover up the evil, you know, do that. Free people, live as God's slaves, show proper respect to everyone, love the family of believers, fear God, honor the emperor. Slaves, in reverent fear of God, submit yourselves to your masters. So David, you know, his master is Saul. Not only to those who are good and considerate, but also to those who are harsh. Whoa. Oh, man. Come on. I don't like this word. Should we just rip it out of the Bible? For it is commendable if someone bears up under pain of unjust suffering because they are conscious of God. Listen to this one more time. For it is commendable if someone bears up under the pain of unjust suffering, like Jesus on the cross, like David in the desert, because they are conscious of what? What? God. But how is it to your credit if you receive a beating for doing wrong and endure it? But if you suffer for doing good and you endure it, this is commendable before God. To this you were called because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. He committed no sin, and no deceit was found in his mouth. When they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. That's what David's doing right there. The Father's got it. The Lord, he's got me. He's got all this in his hands. I can trust him. I have faith in him. And for us today, it's so important. For us in our relationships, it's not easy, right? But I ask you and encourage you to take the long route of reconciliation where it needs to be done. Don't shortcut it. Don't cut it short. Don't say, oh, it's just too much, and then just turn around and leave it, or do something that's kind of sloppy and doesn't really show much repentance or desire to reconcile at all. Because there's power in reconciliation, especially when the Lord is in it. So take that long road. And another one, don't take the shortcut when it comes down to God. See, he trains us, and there's a reason, there's a timing thing. We might not understand it, where we're at. It might be so uncomfortable out there in the desert, but don't give up on him. Don't start grabbing for yourself just because of it's just right for you. It's just right there for you. Don't grab it. Wait until he gives it. And I tell you, as he gives, when he gives to where it's overflowing and just bubbling over in your life. That's what he desires for David. And that's what he desired for Saul. And that's what he desires for each one of us in our own lives. That we wait upon him, trust in him, submit unto his will, and allow him, just leave it to him. Not taking the shortcut. See, Samuel's mom back there in chapter 2, remember her? Do you remember her name? Hannah. See, she could have taken a shortcut too. She couldn't have children. She could have went to the Ashtaroths and the Baals, you know, the fertility idols and stuff like that. She could have did that. She could have relied on the demons. And people can get, yeah, they can have children, yeah. But she didn't. She waited upon the Lord. She cried out to him. And then God gave her this wonderful child. And then she gave him back out of honor. And then God gave her 5 more after that. And then Samuel, when he grew up, that's where his home was. He went to mama. He went to mama's house and get the good cooking. Eli didn't cook that well. Mama. Oh, she cooks well. See, God takes care of his. And her prayer, her song is so beautiful. I just got to read it to you one more time. We'll end it. Just listen to these words. This is from a woman, a mother. You know, and I feel like it's also from a father's heart to each one of us as well. She prayed, "My heart rejoices in the Lord, and the Lord, my horn is lifted high. My mouth boasts over my enemies, for I delight in your deliverance. There is no one holy like the Lord. There is no one besides you. There is no rock like our God. Do not keep talking so proudly or let your mouth speak such arrogance, for the Lord is a God who knows, and by him deeds are weighed. The bows and the warriors are broken, but those who stumbled are armed with strength. Those who were full hire themselves out for food, but those who were hungry are hungry no more. She who was barren has borne 7 children, but he who had many sons pines away. The Lord brings death and makes alive. He brings down to the grave and he raises up. The Lord sends poverty and wealth. He humbles and he exalts. He raises the poor from the dust and lifts the needy from the ash heap. He seats them with princes and he has them inherit a throne of honor. For the foundations of the earth are the Lord's. On them he has set the world. He will guard the feet of his faithful servants. But the wicked will be silenced in a place of darkness. It is not by strength that one prevails. Those who oppose the Lord will be broken. I wish Saul would have heard these words again. Don't you? The Most High will thunder from heaven. The Lord will judge the ends of the earth. He will give strength to his king and exalt the horn of his anointed. Let's pray. Father, yes, help us to remember you, to leave all these matters into your care, Lord, not to take those shortcuts when they just are not, when they are really against what you have for us, when we're taking our own agenda instead of yours, when our comfort levels or our self-preservation or our pride gets a hold of us and we want to run ahead of you. Father, help us remember Hannah's song. Help us remember David in the desert. Help us to remember your son on the cross and all you've done for us and where we can humble ourselves and trust in you, the one who judges justly, who is truly good, and your timing is perfect for our lives, for every life, as we submit unto your will, as we call upon you. And may, as we do this and as you lift us up, Lord, may the blessings that you have for us just overflow and touch the lives of the people around us, not because of who we are, but because of your goodness and who you are. And you so desire that many more will come into your kingdom. So we pray that you'll use our lives and you'll give us that faith of a David. You'll put that song, that prayer in our hearts of Hannah, and that you'll guide our steps day after day, and we will rejoice in you through it all. Through it all. We praise you and thank you in the name of Jesus Christ, and all of his people say, amen.